Warning.
The We're Not Normal podcast assumes no responsibility or liability for any errors that Gregory may make when pronouncing the names of people, places, and things. Know that Gregory is not trying to disrespect anybody. The We're Not Normal podcast is not trying to disrespect anybody. Also, all of our information is provided by on Greg's phone and google.com. Thank you for listening to We're Not Normal podcast. Stay tuned.
Sit still. We have temporarily taken over your motion picture screens to bring you the following message.
You're doomed!
And welcome back to another episode of the We're Not Normal podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you loyal listeners for tuning back in. Thank you new listeners for tuning in. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the podcast on whatever podcast platform you're listening to, also share the podcast. Wait, did I say subscribe? Yeah, I just said subscribe. Share the podcast and like the podcast to make us go up the charts and get other people listening to this podcast as well. Hopefully you guys are having a great weekend. So it's just raining outside, so we just decided to pull out the microphones here just to lighten up the mood. And so today we are going to be talking about aliens. Just aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Not like the Ripley and all that. Not the xenomorph aliens, but although that could arguably be a supposed like alleged alien race, like a xenomorph. Could you imagine that?
I know, and then xenomorph? You can tell people that you just watched Aliens. just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. I just now seen the movie Alien.
You're sad. And
I have to watch the other Alien movies.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
And Predators.
And I heard that the Alien movies, they like the other ones aren't as good as the first, which is like normally typical of like any sequel to a hit movie. But yes, the first time seeing Alien had like a couple parts that made me jump in.
Yeah.
It was like really good, and it had me thinking, just the takeaway, the thoughts, just like had me like thinking like, damn, like what if like there are like facehuggers somewhere out there in the universe or out in any other galaxy, and they're just like waiting for humans like us to one day traverse on their territory and just run into them so they could hug our faces and then reproduce.
Ugh, God.
And make a baby xenomorph.
Oh,
like
my
what
God.
Happened in
That's horrible.
Just like the whole special effects thing, like that was just like, you know, just like, yeah, the guy's like, God, man, crazy. But yes, so we are going to go over alleged alien beings that we as human race have supposedly ran into, whether that be by passing, passing, like if a UFO crashed and somebody went to the site and saw an actual like beings and they described what the beings looked like from the crash craft, or they would be getting descriptions from the aliens after being abducted by these supposed aliens. So the first one on our list, let's like give me time to pull it up. I thought I had it up, but I didn't.
Oh my God.
I know. I am so bad at this. So bad. Alien. Aliens. All right. So the first alien, all right, are the Greys.
Typicals.
Yes. So the Grey.
Are they nice? The Greys.
So the Greys, I mean, you know, you would think with their short stature that they could be come off as noble and friendly.
Why would you think that? Just because they're short?
Just because they're short, no. Yeah. Yeah.
Short like, ones can be, you know, kind of crazy too, right?
I mean, if you look at Napoleon, right? You know, Napoleon.
How tall was Napoleon?
Napoleon, he was probably like 3 foot.
Yeah, right. You're funny.
No, he was maybe like 4.5 foot or something.
Oh my God, you're horrible.
He was a short little guy, and he had, you know, that's where the Napoleon complex came from, because, you know, he's short, and then he's also angry, and he just like he wants to conquer everything. So these Greys, you know, okay, so being short, I can understand why they would also have the Napoleon complex as well, because they want to, they're so angry at
being
the height,
short.
Being short, the cards that they were dealt with in the life that was like given to them, and they just want to take it out on everybody,
oh
and then
God,
they just wanted to.
It's horrible. Yeah. Why would you say that?
I don't know.
Oh,
just I'm just like fucking going here.
That's horrible.
So gray aliens, also referred to as Zeta Reticulans, Roswell Greys, or Greys, are purported extraterrestrial beings. They are frequent subjects of close encounters and alien abduction claims. The details of such claims vary widely. However, Greys are typically described as being human-like with small bodies, smooth, gray-colored skin, enlarged, hairless heads, big, just like basically big chrome domes.
It's all dome.
And large black eyes.
Wow.
The Barney and Betty Hill abduction claim, we covered their case in Alien Abductions. Go check that episode out. So their claim, which purportedly took place in New Hampshire in 1961, popularized gray aliens. Precursor figures have been described in science fiction, and similar descriptions appeared in early accounts of the 1948 Aztec UFO hoax and later accounts of the 1947 Roswell UFO incident. So this is the basic sketch design or illustration of the gray alien. I mean, you already know what a gray alien looks like, so you have the pretty much the idea. So the similar entity is the reptilian humanoid or the little green men, and so they were first attested in fiction by Meta, A Tale of the Future by Kenneth Follingsby back in 1891. And entered the folklore with the Barney Betty Hill abduction case in 1961. All right. So they are worldwide. So they just appear everywhere.
Well, good.
All right.
At least they're not particular to any, you know, place. At least they're not like, we only do the West Side.
West Side?
You know, we don't discriminate. We're going to take them all.
So humanoid with a small and frail body, sometimes appearing as tall, gray skin, large forehead, almond-shaped black eyes, small noses, lips, and ears. So the So the gray alien has emerged as an architectural image of the intelligent non-human creature and extraterrestrial life in general, as well as an iconic trope of popular culture in the age of space exploration. So, yeah, I mean, typically, yeah, described as gray-skinned, diminutive humanoid beings that possess reduced forms of or completely lack external human body parts such as noses, ears, or sex organs.
I thought you just said he had a nose.
I mean, they're some dots. They're like really small noses, and then really just like a slit as a mouth.
Gotcha.
Which people say that they communicate telepathically, which is why their chrome dome is so big. They speak with their mind, so there is no use in the facial area, which is why their noses, possibly why their noses and their mouths have atrophied, because they're not being used, and then their brain is just like that big because they use it. They just like they keep working that shit out. So that's what happens, like when you work one area of the body out, and it just like gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Smaller and smaller.
Their bodies usually depicted as being elongated, having a small chest, bird chest, lacking in muscular definition, and visible skeletal structure. They're basically skinny, and they need some meat on them damn bones.
Okay.
Oh, no, just kidding. So their legs are depicted as being shorter and jointed differently from humans, with limbs proportionally different from a human. So unusually large heads. They are frequently described as shorter than the average adult humans. So their association with the Zeta Reticuli. This is the association between gray aliens and Zeta Reticuli originated with the interpretation of a map drawn by Betty Hill by a school teacher named Marjorie Fish sometime in 1969. Betty Hill, under hypnosis, had claimed to have been shown a map that displayed the aliens. It's Barney Hill, right? It was Barney Hill that was under hypnosis.
Okay, I thought they both were.
Possibly. Okay. If I'm remembering it correctly, okay. I thought it was Barney that was the one. We're going with Betty. Betty Hill, under hypnosis, had claimed to have been shown a map that displayed the aliens' home system and nearby stars. Upon learning of this, Fish attempted to create a model from a drawing produced by Hill, eventually determining that the stars marked as the aliens' home were Zeta Reticuli, a binary star system.
Okay.
So that's where that comes from. The origins of the gray alien may go back to the late 19th century. In 1891, a novel, Meta... A Tale of the Future, was published by Kenneth Follansbee, in which the narrator encountered small, gray-skinned aliens with balloon-shaped heads. In 1893, H.G. Wells, that name sounds familiar.
Yeah, isn't he the one that does the crazy movies?
Oh, no, that's H.P. Lovecraft.
Oh, yeah, that's Lovecraft.
H.G. Wells, I think, is like...
I was pretty fucking close.
Yeah. There's
H.P. Wells.
H.P. and the H.G.
He does books. He writes books.
Oh, no. H.G. Wells presented... Okay, so let me look at H.G. Wells. I believe he's like... He's a... Oh, yes. He is an author.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
He's an English writer. He wrote a lot of scientific fiction, science fiction
movies, right?
Novels.
I think they did movies.
H.G. Wells
from his movies.
Oh no, no, no! That's
from his book.
But I'm saying H.P. Lovecraft is another.
But H.G. Wells, right?
H.G. Wells.
H.G. Wells. They did movies, I think, like black and white movies from his books. You're not listening to me.
Oh. So here's some of his books, notable works: The World Set Free, The Outline of History, The Country of the Blind, The Red Room, The Time Machine, The Invisible Man. That sounds familiar. Yeah, Universal did The Invisible Man.
Yes,
so there's
the
Baseball. Okay, War of the Worlds. Yes. That's another movie. Yeah.
So you're telling me I'm right. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, that's what I
know.
The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Yes, I know this one too.
The First Man in the Moon. The Shape of Things to Come. And Veronica. And When the Sleeper Wakes. All right. Let's go back to him. So he presented the description of humanity.
The First Man on the Moon. The Time Machine. War of the Worlds. You're welcome.
Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, you're welcome.
well, I mean, H.P. Lovecraft, you know, they made movies inspired off
of
his work.
Yeah, so I recognize this one because I've seen a lot of those movies.
So, like, a lot of H and, you know, whatever letter that they decide to put up. If it's a H, K, I don't know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. There's possibly movies made from him, too. So a lot of the H guys have a lot of movies made from their artist, from their authorial works. I might have, I made that word up.
You did.
Yeah. So this H.G. Wells presented this description of humanity's future appearance in the article, The Man of the Year Million, describing humans having no mouths, noses, or hair, and with large heads.
That's hideous. That's kind of how I look now.
No.
That's how I look now.
And no, no, you don't. In 1895, Wells also depicted the Eloi. Oh. Oh, okay. So, a successor species to humanity, in similar terms in the novel The Time Machine. So, this is the Eloi.
It looks like a giant...
A Morlock carrying an Eloi. Oh, wait, so...
Is that a woman?
So the woman is the Eloi?
Apparently.
It looks like a human.
It looks like a human.
That definitely looks like a human.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, Crowley's drawing of a lamb.
What's that movie called? I'm trying to think of a movie where they have big-headed aliens. Well, there's so many movies.
So, Aleister Crowley. This is Aleister Crowley.
Planet Earth? Is that the one?
Let me see.
Where they have the big-headed alien, this Planet Earth? The one the Mystery Science Theater made fun of?
Oh. I don't think that's an Aleister Crowley work, though.
No, I'm just talking about the alien-looking dude.
Oh. I mean, this Planet Earth. Look it up.
You're crazy.
Look that shit up.
All right.
Oh, man. So as early as 1917, the occultist Aleister Crowley described a meeting with a preternatural entity named Lamb that was similar in appearance to a modern gray. Crowley believed he had contacted the entity through a process. That kind of, I mean, their brains are exposed.
Well, his brain is just covered with skin.
You could see, like, the definition and all that.
You're a dark.
So, So Aleister Crowley believed he had contacted the entity through a process that he called the Amalantra workings, which he thought allowed humans to contact beings from outer space and across dimensions. Other occultists and ufologists, many of whom have retroactively linked Lamb to later gray encounters, have since described their own visitations from him, with one describing the being as a cold, computer-like intelligence and utterly beyond human comprehension. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, basically like a super genius. Mm-hmm. And, okay. The creatures did not... Oh, wait. Shit. Hold on. I need a little music for this. Hold on.
Oh my god.
Just a little bit of music. The creatures did not resemble any race of humans. They were short, shorter than average Japanese, and their heads were big and bald, with strong, square foreheads and very small noses, mouths, teeth, arms, legs, and everything in between. I added those extra parts, my bad. And weak chins.
Oh my
God. Like a weak, just a weak chin? Like, yeah. What were they just like punching them in the chin just to find out if it's weak?
Your chin is weak.
Let's test that chin there, boy.
Yeah.
Nah, just kidding. What was most extraordinary about them were their eyes. Large, dark, gleaming, with a sharp gaze. They wore clothes made out of soft gray fabric, and their limbs seemed to be similar to those of humans. So that there was a little passage from Gustav Sandrin's The Unknown Danger back in 1933 of the Greys. So right here, he says that the Greys wore gray cloth. So
is that what made them look more gray?
That's what I'm guessing. So this
they may
implies,
not even mean gray.
Yeah, this implies that they might be wearing suits and... So what I'm thinking is, when people see these gray beings, could they actually be seeing them in some sort of like spacesuits that they have to wear in order to be acclimated to our environment on Earth, to make them survive the trek and to make them survive the environment, pretty much. So much like when we go to outer space, we have those like astronaut spacesuits and all that with the big helmet and then the big black, with just this big bulky suit that we're up all the way up in space. But these aliens are so advanced that they have these spacesuits that are damn near like skin tight. And with the exception of...
Is that where we got the skinny jeans from?
Yeah, so we're like a quarter way there. Like, we're getting there. Almost there, like almost there, but not quite. Like, we're on the right track with skinny jeans, but we just need like 200, maybe possibly 500 more years until we're at the same level of intelligence and technological advantation as these gray aliens. So, yes. yes. All right. So, do you want to know more about the Greys?
Nope. Next.
Okay. Next. On to the next one.
Yeah.
All right. The Little Green Men. Okay. So, Little Green Men, is the stereotypical portrayal of extraterrestrials as little humanoid creatures with green skin and sometimes with antenna on their heads. The term is also sometimes used to describe gremlins, mythical creatures known for causing problems in airplanes and mechanical devices. Today, these creatures are more commonly associated with an alleged alien species called grays, whose color is described as not green, but gray. But
so the exact same thing, just gray or green.
Sorry. But just green, yes.
Gotcha.
Look at this dog just like photobombing this alien in the background.
That's cool. Yeah.
So during the reports of flying saucers in the 1950s, the term little green men came into popular usage in reference to aliens. In one classic case, the Kelly Hopkinsville sighting in 1955, two rural Kentucky men described a supposed encounter with metallic silver, somewhat humanoid-looking aliens, no more than 4 feet or 1.2 meters over there in the UK in height, employing journalistic license and deviating from the witness accounts. The Evansville Courier used the term "little green men" in writing up the story. Other media then followed suit. So basically, like little green men, is basically like a description from typo in the mainstream media. Not sure if like there is actually like little green men along with the grays. So this might be just like a birth child of
media. You never fucking know.
Yeah. Little Green Men has fallen out of the general use in serious science fiction circles and are most commonly used to ridicule the notion that aliens may exist. With a few exceptions, such as Yoda in the Star Wars movie saga, the derisive usage can be seen in the original Star Trek episode Tomorrow is Yesterday, set in 1969 as Captain Kirk, captured by the United States Air Force while attempting to steal the film showing the Enterprise in Earth's atmosphere, calls himself a little green man from Alpha Centauri. Then when interrogated by the base security officer. Yeah, that's okay. All right, so. Yes, the little green man with the squeezed toy aliens from the Pizza Planet in the 1955 Toy Story and its sequels, Little Green Man.
Yep.
Invader Zim is a little green man.
Yes.
And Dragon Ball Z for my anime lovers, yep. The Cybermen. And then also in the video game Destroy All Humans as a little green man.
That's
as
true.
A detective. All right, so
true story.
The uniformed local defense. Okay, so unidentified defending objects. The uniformed local self-defense forces with camouflage and modern Russian weaponry, but no identifying badges or insignia, operating in 2014 during the Russo-Ukrainian war, were also called Martians or little green men by the locals and the media. Wow. So basically, like, the little green man is just being like, it's just a term, throwaway term. All right. Next.
Yeah.
Nordic aliens. Now this is a serious description.
Yeah, because nothing somebody's else like said a, today is serious. Is that what you're saying?
This is very, very serious. Oh, all right? So Nordic aliens. Okay, so in the ufology, Nordic alien is the name given to alleged humanoid extraterrestrials purported to come from the
Sounds fantastic.
Pleiades. All right, Pleiades. I think I'm pronouncing that right. who resemble Nordic Scandinavians. Is Brock Lesnar a Nordic alien?
Yeah.
He's a beast. He's I mean, geez. So alleged contactees describe them as being 6 to 7 feet tall, about 2 meters, with long blonde hair, blue eyes, and fair skin. George Adamski is credited with being among the first to claim contact with Nordic aliens in the mid-1950s. Yep. And scholars note that the mythology of extraterrestrial visitation from beings with features described as Aryan often include claims of telepathy, benevolence, and physical beauty. So the Nordic aliens are, you know, 7 foot and all that, and this is the illustration of like the
really.
So wow. The smaller ones are regular human, and then
had to add the little
Wiener Schnitzel.
Oh my god!
So, I mean, with just the difference being height, but the
there's no difference in the Wiener Schnitzel.
No difference in the Schlong. So.
Nope. No difference.
Yeah. So, cultural historian David J. Skahl wrote that early in the stories of Nordic-type aliens may have been partially inspired by the 1951 film The Day the Earth Stood Still, in which an extraterrestrial arrives on Earth to warn humanity about the dangers of atomic weapons. Bates College professor Stephanie Kelly Romano described alien abduction beliefs as a living myth and notes that among believers, Nordic aliens are often associated with spiritual growth and love and act as protectors for the experiencers. In contactee and ufology literature, Nordic aliens are often described as benevolent or even magical beings who want to observe and communicate with humans and are concerned about the Earth's ecology or prospects for world peace. Believers also ascribe telepathic powers to Nordic aliens and describe them as paternal, watchful, smiling, affectionate, and youthful. During the 1950s, many people alleging to be contactees, especially those in Europe, claimed encounters with beings fitting this description. Such claims became relatively less common in subsequent decades as the gray alien supplanted the Nordic in most alleged accounts of extraterrestrial encounters. Now, could it be that after things died down with, like, the atomic weapon use that, you know, happened in World War II, that the Nordic aliens, like, kind of backed up a little bit, but it's surprising now that they wouldn't be coming back into the story because of, like, what's going on now with, like, you know, war going on and all that, and then possible, like, threats of atomic, like, wouldn't there be, like, some sort of, like, intervention by now? These Nordic aliens...
No, they're just watching us just to, you know... They probably think we're hilarious just blowing each other up and stuff. Look at these stupid little...
It kind of reminds me... The Eternals. So, the Eternals are, you know, Marvel-based, and the Eternals watch over humanity, basically, and they all have a specific superpower. They all, you know, they're like, they're godlike.
Mm-hmm.
So, they are pretty much like chilling, and they aren't supposed to intervene because their higher power tells them not to intervene because it would interrupt with the development of humanity. So, anything that goes on there, even if humans are being killed and stuff, like, they're supposed to just basically, like, sit back and watch the shit hit the fan. Just like pretty much like pray for the best. So that's what kind of like what like it, like reminded me of when I was watching the Eternals. So if there's like some sort of like a higher power just like sitting back watching and just
watching
like watching
destroy ourselves,
like some sort of like a sick experiment going on.
Sure.
All right, so. There's a lot of aliens, actually. Like, Loch Ness Monster alien? What?
No, we've never heard of a Loch Ness Monster alien.
Cryptozoology animals.
No.
But, I guess we'll just, like, I'll just, like, end it with, the reptilians.
Okay.
So, reptilians. So, reptilian humanoids, or anthropomorphic reptiles are fictional creatures that appear in folklore, fiction, and conspiracy theories. So in folklore, okay? In South Asian and Southeast Asian mythology, the Naga are semi-divine creatures which are half-human and half-serpent. Claims of sightings of reptilian creatures occur in southern United States, where swamps are common. In the late 1980s, there were hundreds of supposed sightings of a lizard man in Bishopville, South Carolina. We gotta cover the lizard man in fiction. Anthropomorphic.
Are you gonna remember that?
The lizard man?
Yep.
Possibly not.
No, you're not, because you're gonna want to do UFOs again, because there was some kind of what do you call them?
The herrings.
No, there was some kind of
disclosure. Or is it
whistleblower?
The UFO, the UFO whistleblower.
Yeah,
he blew that whistle. Anthropomorphic reptilian races or beings commonly appear in fantasy and science fiction. They can be based on various reptiles like lizards, crocodiles, alligators, snakes, dinosaurs, and the fictional dragons. All right, I'm not going over the fantasy part. Okay, so here's the conspiracy. We're getting into conspiracies. So reptilians are supposed reptilian humanoids, which play a prominent role in fantasy, science fiction, ufology, and conspiracy theories. The idea of reptilians was popularized by David Icke, a conspiracy theorist who claims shape-shifting reptilian aliens control Earth by taking on human form and gaining political power to manipulate human societies. Icke has stated on multiple occasions that many world leaders are possessed by so-called reptilians.
Jesus. So presidents are reptilians?
Yes.
Well,
so,
I have to explain this one.
Yeah. So this is the reptilian. It even has like a tiny wiener.
It does have a little tiny little... How is he? That's why he's so angry.
He just... Oh my God. It's like a...
It's like a little baby one.
A little micropene.
Oh my God.
So, Michael Barkin, professor of political science at Syracuse University, posits that the idea of a reptilian conspiracy originated in the fiction of Conan the Barbarian creator Robert E. Howard in his story The Shadow Kingdom, published in Weird Tales in August 1929. The story drew a theosophical ideas of the lost worlds of Atlantis and Lemuria, particularly Helen Blavatsky's The Secret Doctrine, written in 1888, with its reference to dragon men who once had a mighty civilization on a Lemurian continent. Howard's serpent men were described as humanoids with human bodies and snake heads. Who were able to imitate humans at will, and who lived in underground passages and used their shape-shifting and mind-control abilities to infiltrate humanity. Clark Ashton Smith used Howard Serpentman in his stories, as well as themes from H.P. Lovecraft. There goes H.P. again.
It was H.G.
Or H.
You're getting confused, my dear.
But it is H.P. Lovecraft.
There's too many H's.
Yes, it is. And he and Howard and Lovecraft together laid the basis for the Cthulhu mythos. In the 1940s, Maurice Doriel, known as also known as Claude Doggins, wrote a pamphlet entitled Mysteries of the Gobi that describe a serpent race with bodies like a man, but heads like a great snake and an ability to take human form. These creatures also appeared in Doriel's poem, The Emerald Tablets, in which he referred to emerald tablets written by Thoth, an Atlantean priest king. Barkin asserts that in all likelihood, Doriel's ideas came from the Shadow Kingdom, and that in turn, the Emerald Tablets formed the basis for David Icke's book, Children of the Matrix. So, historian Edward Guimont, I think that's how you say his name, has argued that the reptilian conspiracy theory, particularly as expounded by Icke, drew from earlier pseudo-historical legends developed during the colonization of Africa, particularly surrounding Great Zimbabwe and the Mokele Mbembe. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Holy shit. Yeah, so a lot of people, mainly politicians, are accused of being reptilian. Let's see who are.
But that doesn't surprise me, though, at all. I don't think.
Let's see a list of these reptilians. Who are reptilian?
I think Bigfoot's an alien, too. How come Bigfoot's not on there? The Bigfoot aliens.
Hey, Bigfoot could be an alien.
I think so.
Damn, I had this list and
is it too many?
Just too many, yeah. Hold on a second. Alright, so I gotta preface this that this is only speculation on my part, and I'm just only reading from a list. Mm-hmm. I may or may not think that these people are reptilians, and
but this you'll is just never know.
Yeah, you just if never you know.
Think,
like,
you think you they are or not?
Yeah, this is just on a list. This is from a Punky, so PUNKEE.com. These are their words. So, all right. So, number one, Justin Bieber. one of the most famous reptilian humanoids in at the
moment. I don't think you need to read all that. Just name the celebrities.
Okay.
All
right.
Yeah.
Number two, Queen Elizabeth.
Oh my God.
Okay. they put an iguana ahead.
Wow.
Number three, Miley Cyrus.
That's funny.
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Number four, Donald Trump.
Oh my God.
Number five, Mark Zuckerberg.
That one I kind of believe.
He does, like, kind of, like, have, like, some mannerisms.
Yeah, right? I think so. That one I would not be surprised about.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Okay. Yeah.
That's it?
I think so. That's only
really, I'm sure they have Trump, but they don't have Biden on there.
Oh my God, Biden! You know Biden for sure. Like he has, especially the way he's acting. Like I don't know, like if he's just I don't know, man.
He's old. He's older.
It's sad, man. It is, like just like the way
being old is sad.
Or what if he's just like playing around? He's just like,
yeah, and behind the scenes, he's like getting on treadmills and stuff.
Treadmills, and then he takes off the skin suit, and yeah, he's actually like a really fit reptilian.
Yeah.
And then the rest of them in the back are like, "Good job, Bob.
Yeah.
Good job, Bob.
Oh my God.
Way to play into the."
Who knows? It's crazy, man.
Oh yeah. Well, I think we could, I guess we'll end it right there.
Okay.
So guys, if you enjoyed this episode, you know what to do. Leave a like, share the podcast, and subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. And, any final thoughts on this episode, Cassie?
Nope. It makes sense to me.
All the different aliens, yeah, and all that. Yeah, for sure. The grays are actually like,
I would like to think that they're gray and not green.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Gray is definitely a more neutral color than a green. A green, I don't know why, but like if I saw like a little green man just like coming toward me, just the fact that he's like the green and it's just like green is like, wow. Like it's just like it's like a caution, like it's almost like the yellow caution sign, but with it being like a bright color, it's just like something like that. Like maybe it's like, wow, like just like right there.
That's crazy.
I don't know. That's just me.
Mm-hmm.
But gray is more neutral and safer.
That's not true. I just think the gray is just like more expected of them more than the green. I don't think gray is neutral. Gray is neutral.
Yeah, gray is neutral.
What the hell does that have to do with aliens?
It is alien because it's
we can only have neutral aliens. They can't have colored aliens.
Yeah.
You're a dork. Oh my God.
Yeah. All right, guys. So have a great weekend, guys, and we will see you in the next episode.
Love, peace, and chicken grease.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.